السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. Hello my kiram, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa. There seems to be an explosion in families, in our society, and all around us, even amongst nations, of fights, wars, arguments, quarrels, disputes. But if we have to take it at the lowest level, beginning from our own homes, then we find that even our homes are no more peaceful places to live in. I'm talking about the general condition of our society. And those people who are dealing with cases of marital disputes every day of their lives, and dealing with other kinds of problems between family members and between friends and between merchants and their clients, then we know that we have reached a level which is, or which has got nothing to do, or does not come anywhere close to the teachings of Islam and Sharia. We are very far away from that character which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam possessed, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam desired that his ummah also possess. All the effort that he made amongst the sahaba ikram ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, and each and every one of them, they absorbed, they imbibed within themselves, and they became models for the societies that they went to wherever in the world. Now all that we have forgotten. The whole purpose of life seems to be revolving around nothing but wealth, property, gold, silver, position, name, fame. That seems to be our life. Whereas we were not born for that. We were not created for that. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give us name too, will give us fame too, will give us wealth too, will give us everything. If He is pleased with us, He will give us everything. And He will give it to us with His pleasure. So that which we are searching for, we will get it again if we have to be pleasing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And if we don't get it in this world, then Allah Ta'ala will definitely give it to us in the hereafter. When it comes to material things, if a person does not get it in this world, but he is pleasing Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will give it to him in the hereafter. But in this world, He will give him sukoon in his heart. He will give him peace of mind. He will give him happiness. He will give him tranquility and serenity and joy and comfort and satisfaction in his heart. So looking at the situation, Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, many, many years ago, he wrote this poetry or composed it, just sections of which I want to read to you. I have read to you something else of Hazrat Khaja Sahib. Ay nayi roshni tera muh ho kala, andar se andhera hai bahar ujala. Ay nayi roshni tera muh ho kala, O you modern day civilization, may your face be blackened. Andar se andhera hai bahar ujala. Inside there is nothing but darkness. Inside there is nothing but zulmat. Inside there is nothing but greed, malice, pride, anger, filthy passions and desires. That's all that there is inside. Outside, yes, there's a lot of shine, a lot of glitter, a lot of glamour, a lot of high-rise buildings, and lots of signs of progress. And there's nothing wrong with making progress also in the material world. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created the whole world for us. But it must be subject to our progress, our spiritual progress. Our spiritual progress is more important. If the heart is in a good condition, then everything else also will be for our benefit. But if the heart is not in a good condition, we will have everything of the outside world. But inside the heart, there will be nothing but restlessness, fear, fright. And we can see that that is what we are going through. Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, جو اب حال دنیا ہے نا گفتنی ہے جو اب رنگ عالم ہے نا دیدنی ہے جو اب حال دنیا ہے نا گفتنی ہے جو اب رنگ عالم ہے نا دیدنی ہے He says if you have to look at the condition of the world today, it is نا گفتنی, we just can't even speak about it. To what level we have reduced ourselves. Man which was a paragon of Allah Ta'ala's creation. Man whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala chose out of all his creation to give aqal, intelligence, willpower, and to send the rasools and messengers for his guidance, and then of all the Nabis, Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to receive the Holy Quran Sharif, and then to promise them again Jannat in the Akhirat and Marifat and Yaqeen in this world. There's so many things Allah Ta'ala chose man for. And to what level he has reduced himself. If we have to look at the akhlaq and the character and the morals of the people that are living in our times, then he says that it is something you just can't even talk about. It's gone so bad that you can't even talk about. Now he was talking about his time 50 years ago. Imagine what a change since then. So he says, جو اب حال دنیا ہے نا گفتنی ہے جو اب رنگ عالم ہے نا دیدنی ہے. It's not even possible to look at what is happening around. It's not even possible to look. Those people whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with hearts, they can see the zulmat and the darkness. Hazrat Maulana Fakhruddin Rahmatullah Ali, a very great wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he was a Hakim also. So he was talking about his days in Surat. He says that some years ago, after Asar, between Asar and Maghrib, he said we have to look at the skies and you have to look at the atmosphere around you. Then it seemed as if there was Noor that was raining. He said there was so much of Noor. He says, but since all the cinemas and everything else became in vogue and the Muslims started frequenting all these haram places, he says, now when we look around, we find nothing but darkness. One Ahl-e Dil went into some person's house, and he looked at the walls of the house, and he said that I can see the darkness on these walls. The darkness of what? The darkness of sins. And he says, it's as if some fire has burnt this wall, and it has gone black. And he mentioned that to the friend that had accompanied him. He says, this is what I see in this house. And afterwards, a little bit of investigation proved what was happening in that house. So how is it that they can sense it? How is it that they can see these things? Now imagine if they have to come into our homes in which we have seen so much of filth on the television screen, and where that television has been on the whole night, and where so much of zina has taken place on that screen, and so much of drinking, and so much of gambling, and so much of adultery, fornication, and so much of violence, and sexually explicit scenes. Now all that filth that came in there, now what kind of darkness must be in those homes? Then we say there's fights, there's arguments, there's quarrels, there's disputes. For a small percentage of people, it could be a test from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. For just a small percentage, very minor, very small percentage of people will say that it's a test, that Allah Ta'ala tests sometimes the wife is not compatible, sometimes the husband is not compatible, sometimes the children are giving problems. So a small percentage that can be there. But the majority of us, if we have to look at our lives, it is what we are doing. It's a reflection of ourselves. Whenever we are going to be disobedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we'll find disobedience in our parents. The parents will find the children have become disobedient. The wife will find that the husband has become a bully, has become a pain in the neck, or he is causing a great amount of problem for her, or it will be the other way around, that the husband will find that the wife is not compatible, she is giving him all kinds of problems. One Allah wala, he said that the moment I found some disobedience in my life, I found the effect of that even on my horse. That horse which I ride comfortably, but after some slight disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, and I find that horse also does not want to give me the comfortable ride that it used to always give, it becomes disobedient. So even if the animal can take effect from our disobedience, then what about human beings who we are living with? Nigahe aqreba badli mizaje dosta badla. Nigahe aqreba badli mizaje dosta badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. Nigahe aqreba badli mizaje dosta badla. The family members also. Suddenly we find that there is a kind of a tug of war, there is a kind of a pull, there is a kind of tension. Nigahe aqreba badli mizaje dosta badla. Those who were friends also, suddenly we say the friendship has ended. Why it has ended? Because of the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. The moment we are going to be disobedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we will find everybody turning away from us. No one will remain as our friends. We are all complaining that these days everybody is our enemy. So why is everyone our enemy? Why is it that they are not our friends anymore? Because we have been disobedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have made nafs and shaitan our friends, and we have distanced ourselves from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put the hatred into the hearts of others for us. Again, they too, with a small percentage, it is some kind of test and trial. But the majority, it is nothing but azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Bazaahir bani hai ba baatin thani hai, ba lab dosti hai ba dil dushmani hai. Bazaahir bani hai ba baatin thani hai, ba lab dosti hai ba dil dushmani hai. Zubaan par sana qalb mein bad zani hai, pase pusht ghibat hai taana zani hai. Bazaahir bani hai ba baatin thani hai, ba lab dosti hai ba dil dushmani hai. Zubaan par sana qalb mein dushmani hai, pase pusht ghibat hai taana zani hai. Ye tehzeeb nau hai nayi roshni hai. So these are the fruits of modern day civilization. We talk about modern day civilization. We talk about the culture of the modern day people. We talk about the present day technological age in which everything is moving at such a rapid pace that we can't even keep pace with it. So fast, so much of new products on the market, technology at its height, because soon Dajjal is going to come. This is what we call new generation, new light. And what is happening? Bazaahir bani hai ba baatin thani hai. Outwardly you will find that there is some talk of friendship, of muhabbat, of love, of compassion, of feeling, of sympathy. But ba baatin thani hai. Look at all the aid that these governments of the world give to the others. Is that true compassion and love with which they are giving? On the one hand, what did America do? Go and bomb Afghanistan. And then they throw a few hampers there. They say, look at the amount of aid that we gave to the Afghanistan people. Our fight is not with the people of Afghanistan. First you bomb them, you cripple them, you land them in hospitals, their legs are broken, their faces are burnt, shrapnels have got their bodies, and little children are crippled for life, and after that you say there's a few hampers. Bazaahir bani hai ba baatin tani hai. So at the international level, it's the same thing. All that aid and help which they give to these poor countries, they give it to them at such exorbitant interest rates that that country becomes a slave all its life. And then they take away all the minerals and everything else that it possesses, and the few rulers of that country become multi-rich, and the rest of the country after that in poverty. And then after having paid interest for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, then they say that now we are giving that airport as a gift, that Kenyan airport, after they paid interest for years and years, and 10 times they must have already paid whatever they loaned. Then after that, there's a function where they are giving, wiping off the debts. Bazahir bani hai, ba batin tani hai. Balab dosati hai, ba dil dushmani hai. In the heart, there's nothing but enmity. And if you look at it at our level, then also this is what is happening in the majority of the relationships that seem to exist between family members and friends. And not only family members and friends, in these days even between murid and sheikh, between ustad and the children, the pupils of the madrasa, between the principal and the teachers, everywhere it is the same story. Bazahir bani hai wa batin tani hai. Outwardly there's a great amount of respect and great amount of bowing down and humbling oneself, an expression of love, an expression of respect and everything. But babatin tani hai. But in the heart there's daggers drawn. When can I get this person out of my way? One alim wrote once to Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said, mere dil mein ek bimari hai. Aur isliye main chahta hoon ki meri islah ho jaye. Now he's an alim, he's asking for islah. So mashallah, anybody will get happy that at least he's asking for islah. So Hazrat was too sharp. He said, wo kaun si bimari hai uska zikr karo. So then he said, hasad hai. So even that was not enough. Otherwise you would have made dua, Allah Ta'ala must clear your heart of hasad. Allah Ta'ala must not allow this evil to creep into your heart or to embed itself there. But he asked him, kis se hasad hai? He said, sach batao, kis se hasad hai? He got kash, so he asked him, kis se hasad hai? Whom are you jealous of? Then he said, Hazrat, sachi baat ye hai ki aap hi se hasad hai. Because he was also a good, great alim. Oh, I mean, a learned person, might be. Alim means he had plenty of knowledge, but the condition of the heart wasn't good. So he said that hasad is with you. Now he's got hasad of his own sheikh. That why has he got so many murids, and why are people like respecting him so much, and why is his majlis increasing by the numbers, and here he is not even getting a few people. So now look at that hasad now. Against whom was that hasad? His own sheikh. So who is going to detect all these sicknesses? So he said, bazahir bani hai, ba batin tani hai, ba lab dosati hai, ba dil dushmani hai. In the heart there's nothing but hatred. That if any kind of harm comes upon that person, it gives this person great joy and happiness. Why? Because that heart has not been purified. So then who will make amal on that hadith in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam talks about who is the person of iman, that he loves for others that which he loves for himself. So it does not mean that the person will never have any kind of dislike or hatred or anything for anybody in the world. That is not possible. But what we are talking about is munafiqat, hypocrisy. That if the person has got anything at heart and he is feeling hurt about something or the other, and the person is his friend, so then if that person is a true friend, then he must not become offended if he is told that this is what is hurting me. He must tell him openly that this is what is hurting me and it is creating a barrier between us, or in my heart I do not seem to have that same kind of open-hearted feeling as we talk about. So this is the area of concern. So try and rectify, remedy, make a little bit of change, whatever it is, but try and resolve the problem. But to continue giving the expression that the person has got great love, And in the meantime, in the heart, the person is harboring such jealousy and malice and such hatred, then that is not the sign of a mu'min. So he says, Bazahir bani hai ba batin tani hai ba lab dosti hai ba dil dushmani. On the tongue there is nothing but expression of love. And that is why I repeatedly say that what Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned years ago, in his time, he said, Nifaq jo hai sikka raijul waqt hai. Hypocrisy is the currency of the time. So in our time, it is even more the currency. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us purified hearts. He must give us those hearts that He gives to His awliya. He must give us those hearts which are shining with the noor of taqwa and zuhud, with the noor of iman. That is the reason that our hearts don't seem to have any effect on anyone. We have been told that we must go and adopt the company of the good. And the good have been told that they must stay far away from the company of the bad. So now what is the solution to that problem? It's a very difficult question. It just comes to mind that we have been told that we must adopt the company of the good. And the good have been told that you must run far away from the company of the bad. So now, how do they get together then? So there the usul is this, that a person, if he believes and he knows that I will be influenced by the other, the person who is indulging in evil, in haram, in sinful things, and this person does not have a solid iman, and he knows that if he is going to go in the company of those people, then he will be dragged away. Instead of him dragging those people out from their sinful lives, he is so weak that he will go with them to the places that they are going. So then he must stay far away from them. Then this person must stay far away because he does not have that pull in himself. Because either you influence people or you will be influenced. One of the two things must happen. Either we influence or we will be influenced. Now it depends on what kind of iman we have, what kind of control we have over our passions and desires, and what kind of yaqeen we have in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala being all seeing, all knowing, all hearing. And if our hearts are also weak, that we get carried away and we get influenced very easily, whether it is haram or it is najais, whatever it is, but we get influenced too. The person offers a drug tablet, then we take it too. The person says, come to the cinema, then we will go away too. The person will say, once in a lifetime, what's there if you just come to the casino a little bit too? So then we'll go away with him too. And yet we went to make nasihat to him, but instead he dragged us away. So if we got that kind of fear, then we say that we do not go to that in the company of those people. But at the same time, we must not think of ourselves as being very pious, very holy, very righteous and God-fearing. We must think of our weakness, that I am weak, that is why I am staying away. Not that because I am very good, that's why I am staying away. We must think that this is my weakness, that I get carried away, I get influenced. So those hadiths in which it says that stay far away from the company of the rich, and from the company of the kings and the ministers, the meaning of which ministers and politicians who are in high positions or whoever they may be that enjoy some kind of position in society because of their wealth and power, then stay far away from them. So we say that if we are all going to stay far away, then how is tabligh going to be made to them? So there again the usul is the same thing, that if that rich person's wealth has any kind of effect on our hearts, that the moment we see his wealth, then after that his weakness, his shortcoming and whatever there is there is all clouded. And we take such effect that now if that person tells us to bow down, we will bow down. He tells us to sit down, we'll sit down. And if he tells us to stand up, we'll stand up. Now if that person's wealth is going to have that kind of effect on our hearts, or that royal family member's company is going to have that kind of effect, or that great property owner's wealth is going to have that kind of effect, that our saliva will begin flowing. So then stay far away, because it's going to affect our iman. Our yaqeen from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will move. So that is what it means. But if we are strong enough that if that person is asking us to do anything that is against the Quran and against the Sunnah and against the Sharia, then we have the courage and we have the strength and the himmat to say that no, this is where we draw the line. I respect you, and you are my friend, but because of your wealth now, do not pressurize me into any kind of haram. If we have that courage, then well and good. But generally that doesn't happen, because if the poor person goes into the company of the rich, and now that rich person is having a function and a feast and party, and in that party and feast he's got all kinds of haram things that's going on. There's music there, there's photography there, there's women and men intermingling there. And now this poor person, because he was somehow his friend, so he too is invited. So now he goes there, although now when he goes there, he's got no courage and himmat and strength to tell that person that, look, all these things what you are doing, now that is not right. So therefore I have to leave this function and I have to go. If we don't have that kind of himmat and courage, so then we must stay away. One poet said very beautifully, Raat phir waiz bala noshon ko samjhane gaye, raat phir waiz bala noshon ko samjhane gaye, main kade se nikle to mushkil se pehchane gaye, main kade se nikle to mushkil se pehchane gaye. He says, last night one wise, he got the josh of making tabligh to all those people who were in the bar. He says, I'm going to go there and make tabligh to them and get everybody out from there. So this wise went there. Now when he went there to make tabligh to them, but because he was not strong himself, he had come out from that same kind of life before. Now when he went in there, there was such a crowd there enjoying themselves that he too got caught there. And when he came out from there, he was not, you couldn't recognize him also, whether he was a wise or what he was. That his niyat was very good, but he went to such a place where he did not have control over himself. What he's trying to say is that if we are going to make tabligh, we are going to give dawat to someone, or we are going to invite someone towards deen, then first of all we must check ourselves, how strong am I? If we are not very strong, then take a jamaat and go. Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali had great wisdom. That is why he said, take a whole jamaat and go, so that you stay a little strong. So that if you show little weakness, your friend will tell you, no, how can we do a thing like this in this place? We must move out from here quickly. So there was hikmat and wisdom. So that's what I say, then take a jamaat, go with 3-4 people. If you have to go to such a place where you have to make nasihat, and that place is not a very healthy place. Sometimes it happens that a person is called out to go and make, that there is a problem. And now that woman is alone in that house, but she is related, she may be known, and she's got a serious, or maybe a neighbor, and she's got a problem. Now you can't just say that just because she's a woman and she's alone, so I'm not going to help and assist. But if she's got a problem and you have to assist and help, then at that time check your own hearts, how strong it is. Then at such a time take the wife with and go. Take your sister with and go. Or go with 2-3 people, so that nafs and shaitan does not trap us. And this what I am telling you is in the light of so many incidents that are taking place, that the person is going to deliver hampers to whom is going to deliver the hamper to an orphan child, Muslim young girl, She's an orphan. Or is going to deliver to a widow. Or is going to deliver to somebody else. But now she's alone in that home. Now this young person goes there, and after that we get nafs and shaitan coming in between. So first check, how strong am I? So that's what it means, that if the person is not strong himself, then he must consider himself weak and stay away. But if he thinks that he has got some kind of influence over others, and he can go and influence that person to come out from his weakness and shortcoming, then he goes there. Then he goes and make nasihat and tries to bring that person out. Because if there are 10 sheep or 20 sheep, then even if they are weak sheep, but the wolf thinks that there's plenty of sheep here, the wolf doesn't attack in a hurry. It's just like if there are 20 rats, and there's one cat that has got malaria, it's got tuberculosis, and it's got typhoid also. But that one meow, that weak meow of that cat, chases all the rats away. So at least the person must have some kind of meow with him. Then he must go. But if he hasn't got a meow, then those 20 rats will drag him away. So the sohbat is important. But at the same time, we must see how strong are we. Bazaahir bani hai ba baatin thani hai ba lab dosti hai ba dil dushmani hai zubaan par sana qalb mein badzani hai pase pusht ghibat hai taana zani hai ye tehzeeb e nau hai nayi roshni hai zubaan par sana qalb mein badzani hai. Praises on the tongue, on the lips there's nothing but praises. But in the heart, there's suspicion, there's doubt. So much of evil in the heart. So much of hatred. Pase pusht ghibat hai taana zani hai. Behind the person's back, nothing but ghibat of him. And criticism of the person. So now with these type of hearts, we can't get connected with Allah Ta'ala. That is what I'm repeatedly expressing, that alhamdulillah we are making some namaz, we are making some zikr, some tilawat, some ibadat. But why is it that every one of us we say that my heart is still empty? I can't seem to be getting any noor in my heart. So the noor of the heart comes when we purify that heart from all these type of evils. I explained to you that this type of sickness, illness, disease, anybody can suffer from, but it must not remain there. Just as we are concerned about our physical ailments, that I need a cure, otherwise it's going to drag me to the graveyard. In the same way, we must seek a cure for these type of ailments. And it's not an impossible thing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would not have taught the ummah akhlaq. And haven't we read the incidents in the life of the sahaba ikram ridwanul alayhim ajma'in? What kind of a background they came from? There was kufr, there was shirk, and there was nifaq also. The hypocrites of Madinah Tayyibah, many of them accepted Islam also. And when they accepted Islam, then what kind of ikhlas came into their lives? So if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can change the conditions of their hearts, it's not that Allah is sleeping now, or na'uzu billah, he has lost his greatness and power and glory, or that he doesn't like us and he has condemned us to hell. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants us to take lessons from there and purify our hearts. There is a process that we have to submit ourselves for. We must lower ourselves, we must humble ourselves. We must not feel proud at all. We must not be offended also when we are told that these are our sicknesses and this is the cure. Safaiye poshak tandi dani hai magar rooh aala isho mein suni hai. Safaiye poshak tandi dani hai magar rooh aala isho mein suni hai. خمیدہ ہے سر دل میں کبر و منی ہے، شریفانہ صورت ہے سیرت دنی ہے، یہ تہذیب نو ہے نئی روشنی ہے، صفائی پوشا کو تندیدنی ہے. And we stop on this tonight. صفائی پوشا کو تندیدنی ہے. If you look at the person's body and you look at his clothes, then you really admire the person. That look at this person, how clean he stays. What a gentleman he is. No crease on his pants. That's what they consider as person or gentleman. So if you look at the person's clothes, they say he's tip top. Time to shine clothes he's got. And if you look at the person's body also, every kind of perfume, every kind of deodorant and every kind of thing that you can think of is applied on his body. Because he doesn't want anybody to get any kind of odor, which is a good thing. To keep the clothes clean and to keep the body clean is a teaching of Sharia, it is a teaching of Deen. But what Khaja Sahib is crying about, he says that you look at the clothes and you look at the body, then it is something that you really admire. It's, you feel like keep looking at the person's attire. But he says if you have to look at the ruh is soiled and polluted with all kinds of filth. Every kind of filth that you can think of, the ruh and the soul has been polluted with. It's only Allah Ta'ala, out of his tolerance, he is Haleem. Allah Ta'ala is Haleem. If it had not been for Allah Ta'ala's Hilm, not for Allah Ta'ala's tolerance, and if he had to deal with us in accordance with the condition of our hearts, not one of us would have been existing on the surface of this earth. Because he can see through. We can't hide our inside from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Man may have made a lot of things, but he hasn't made any kind of x-ray machine that can x-ray the spiritual heart that the eyes of the Ahlullah can x-ray. Man's machines can't x-ray that. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he doesn't need any kind of x-ray machine. And if Allah Ta'ala has given those Ahlullah that kind of sight, that kind of basirat, then why should we have any doubt that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows even those thoughts that cross our minds? So there is no other solution to our problems except that we make a little bit of effort. Alhamdulillah, in sitting for deeni majlises, for deeni programs, it is a sign that there is great potential in the hearts. Otherwise the person won't come anywhere near. The person who does not have that potential, or that person who is far, far away, or Allah Ta'ala's ghazab and anger is on him, then he does not even get that tawfiq of attending any kind of deeni programs. So the very fact that Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq of listening to the kalam of Allah, His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to nasihats and waaz, it is an indication and a sign that there is great potential in our hearts, which means that we must not lose any kind of hope and we must not despair. We must not think that it's impossible for us. There's nothing like that as being impossible, but everything needs a little bit of himmat and a little bit of courage. I always say, take the first steps towards Allah Ta'ala. He is so merciful. Wallah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy is unlimited. That child who is learning to walk, so the parents hold the hand and then leave the hand. The child takes one, two step before the child can fall, the parents pick up the child. That Allah who puts that kind of love into the hearts of the parents, who teach the child how to walk and doesn't allow the child to fall and get hurt, and picks it up before it falls, will Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala allow us to fall and get hurt if we sincerely take a few steps towards Him. If we are going to take those few steps towards Allah Ta'ala, you think He will allow us to get hurt? He will allow us to get injured? He will forsake us when that mother or that father doesn't allow that little child to drop and get hurt? Friends, don't despair of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. He's very, very merciful. Magar ruha ala isho mein suni hai, khameeda hai sar dil mein kibro mani hai, sharifana surat hai sirat dhani hai. We are not saying that we must not have sharifana surat. Our surat must also be sharifana. One person told Mullah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Damat Barakatuhum that when I hold the tasbih in my hand, then people think of me as a pious person. So he said, what, you want them to think of you as a badmash? If they think of you as a pious person, what's wrong with it? Let them think. You don't want them to think of you as a badmash. Yes, you yourself don't think of yourself as a pious person. But if they think of you, then it's good. Nothing wrong with that. So our surat also must be of the sharif, of the good, of the righteous, of the salihin. Our outward also must be like that. But our sirat also must be like that. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless me, bless you, and bless the entire ummah with the surat and the sirat of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our outward also must become like that, and our inside also must become like that. And wallah, we can take a million qasams or a billion qasams and say that the day we get that kind of hearts, then the whole world and everything that it contains, the value of that will drop from our sight. Because now we will have the creator of all these ni'mats in our heart. The creator of all these gardens in our heart. Mana ke meer gulshan jannat to dur hai, arif hai magar dil mein khaliq jannat liye hue. It's not that we will not appreciate those ni'mats. We will make use of it. We will accept them. We will even earn them. We will distribute them. But we won't give a place inside our heart. Inside our heart we will have the creator of all these ni'mats. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اے میرے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. او مائی بلوڈ اللہ, یو آر رحیم, یو آر کریم, یو ڈیئرلی لو فورگیونس آف سنز. او اللہ فورگیو ایچ اینڈ ایوری ون آف اس. او اللہ بلیس اس وذ پیوریفائیڈ ہارٹس, بلیس اس وذ ہارٹس وچ آر مصفا مزکا مجلہ. اے اللہ, گیو اس دا ہارٹس دیٹ یو گیو ٹو یور کلوز ونز اینڈ یور فرینڈز اینڈ یور ولیز. او مائی اللہ, Ya Allah, our hearts are filled with nifaq, with hypocrisy, with malice, with greed, with pride, with arrogance. Our hearts are filled with envy, with jealousy. Oh my Allah, which sin is there that we have not committed? Which evil is there that is not embedded in our hearts? Oh my Allah, we want peace of mind. Oh my Allah, we want your closeness, your marifat, your yaqeen. We want to become your friends and your walis. We want the closeness and the marifat of, and the muhabbat of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of brothers and sisters. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Unite the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, open the floodgates of your rahmat and your maghfirat for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اے اللہ, امت مسلمہ آج پورے عالم کے اندر پریشان ہے. اے اللہ, ان کی پریشانیوں کو تیرے فضل و کرم سے تو دور فرما. اے اللہ, ہم سب کو صحت دے, عافیت دے, سلامتی دے. مسجد اقصی کی حفاظت فرما. اے اللہ, فلسطین کے مجاہدین اور مسلمانوں کی مدد فرما. کشمیر کے, بوسنیا, چچنیا, افغانستان, ہندوستان, سارے عالم کے اندر اے اللہ امت مسلمہ کے حال پر تو رحم فرما, کرم فرما. اے اللہ, bless us with long life, with good health, with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا عطا فرما, جو قرض دار محتاج اور تنگ دست ہیں ان کی تنگ دستیوں کو ختم فرما, جو پریشان حال ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما, جو بے اولاد ہیں ان کو اولاد صالح نصیب فرما, جب ہماری موت کا وقت آئے تو خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما. او اللہ بلیس اس ود ڈیتھ ان مدینہ طیبہ, اے اللہ بلیس اس ود شہادت ان مدینہ طیبہ, اے اللہ بلیس اس ود ڈیتھ آف برکت, اے اللہ those who have passed away give them جنت الفردوس. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.